Hello, welcome to Wombats and Music. This is your host, Harry Beyer. I bring you Wombats and Music Monday nights at 7 from WEHC, your college and community station at Emory and Henry College. Wombats and Music is my chance to play for you songs I love and occasionally put in something odd, a joke, a story, a non-commercial recording, and I call those odd things Wombats. And tonight is probably going to be the most wombatty night I've ever had. I'll tell you about it when we get there, but it's a big-time wombat. So, we're coming to you from Emory and Henry College, and WEHC is solar-powered. And at Emory and Henry College is near Abing, Virginia, in Emory, Virginia, and we're in the southwest tip of Virginia. Most of you listening are within 35 miles of the station, and some of you are listening on the internet. And I'm going to start off with the first song, which is I Was There by the Statler Brothers. And it has a gentle feeling. It's a man who's been in love all his life, and he's been in the presence of the one he loves. But somehow it just never really worked out the way he wanted, and yet there's something very beautiful in this. I Was There by the Statler Brothers.
When she bought her first heels, I was there. When she combed those last pigtails from her hair. When she wore her sister's dress to the prom, I must confess, when the last dance was danced, I was there. When I first fell in love, she was there. I can still remember when and where. But life gives and takes, and we all have our breaks. When she broke her first heart, I was there. When she walked down the aisle, I was there. When she took the vows to always love and care. With dignity and grace, I quietly took my place with the friends of the bride. I was there. When they had their first fight and she called in the night, though I knew it wasn't right, I was there. And when he left her again and she needed a friend, like the fool I've always been, I was there. The last time we met, he was there. And whatever he thinks, I don't care. I loved her first, he loved her words. I know she told me so when I was there. I know she told me so when I was there.
That was I Was There by the Statler Brothers. When I was a younger man, I had an older friend who had retired, and she spoke of me and my associates, the people that we were friends of her. She called us, we were in the middle of life. We were still busy with raising children and earning a living and that sort of thing. And she'd moved on to another phase. Well, I'm sort of moving on to the other phase now. And the next song, which is called Now I'm Easy by Eric Bogle, catches that idea. He's in Australia. He's telling the story of an old man whose life is sort of past him now. And some rough things happened back along the line, But now it's all far behind him, and he says, "I'm easy." So this is "Now I'm Easy" by Eric Bogle.
For nearly 60 years I've been a cocky. Of droughts and fires and floods I've lived through plenty. This country's dust and mud have seen my tears and blood, but it's nearly over now, and now I'm easy. I married a fine girl when I was 20, but she died in giving birth when she was 30. No flying doctor then, just a gentle old black gin. But it's nearly over now, and now I'm easy. She left me with two sons and a daughter, and a bone dry farm whose soil cried out for water. So my care was rough and ready, but they grew up fine and steady. But it's nearly over now, and now I'm easy. My daughter married young and went her own way. My son's lie buried by the Burma Railway. So on this land I've made me own, I've carried on alone. But it's nearly over now, and now I'm easy. City folks these days despise the cocky, say with subsidies and all we've had it easy. But there's no drought or starving stock on a Seward suburban block. But it's nearly over now, and now I'm easy. For nearly 60 years I've been a cocky. Of droughts and fires and floods I've lived through plenty. This country's dust and mud have seen my tears and blood, but it's nearly over now, and now I'm easy. And now I'm easy.
That was "Now I'm Easy" by Eric Bogle, a story from someone who's looking back on life. Now we're going to jump right back in the middle. This is "New Cut Road" by Guy Clark. And what's happening here is a young man is coming into his own, and his family is leaving to move on, and he decides to stay where he is and make the best of it. And the family accepts his choice. And it's got a lot of energy and a lot of a feeling of destiny and picking your own way in life. This is "New Cut Road" by Guy Clark.
Mm-hmm.
sister said you better act right, Coleman. Daddy's gone to Louisville, he'll be back tonight. He gonna get another wagon and a good pair of mules. Then we're gonna move to Texas, we just waiting on you. Now Coleman's daddy, he pulled up in the yard. And he said, fight for your lives, kids, it's getting too hard. Kentucky's all right, but there's too many people. Just the other day, I thought I saw a church steeple. And Coleman said, Daddy, don't you worry about me. I'm gonna stay here in Kentucky till the day I die. I'm gonna race that mare, drink that sour mash. Got me a woman with a fox red hair. Ooh, now y'all been moving west since the day you got married. Well, I'm getting off the wagon, Daddy, I'm too old to be carried. I'm gonna stay here in Kentucky where that bluegrass grows. And I'm gonna play it all night down a new cut road. What's it all coming to? Young people these days are just as stubborn as mules. Well, you can't make him go, he's too old for that. It's that damned old fiddle and that bowler hat. Coleman's mama said, let the boy stay, cause he was raised up solid and he can find his own way. But as for me, honey, I'm with you. And I always thought Kentucky was just passing through. Little sister, she started in a crying. His daddy shook his head for the very last time. Coleman's mama said, somebody gotta do it. Woo, there wouldn't be no Kentucky unless you didn't stick to it, Coleman. Coleman Bonner stood on the porch of that cabin and he watched them all go to Texas in a covered wagon. And then he pulled out his fiddle and the rosin of his bow and he played a little tune.
That was New Cut Road by Guy Clark. Next up is Wondrous Love by Maura Smiley. Wondrous Love is a traditional song, and she mentions that she got it from the shape note tradition of sacred harp. And I'm a shape note singer, and I remember this song well. It's one of the best known songs in the sacred harp tradition. Anyway, she does some interesting things with it, and it's just a powerful anthem the way she puts it out there. So this is Wondrous Love by Maura Smiley.
For my soul, to bear the dreadful curse for my soul.
That was Wondrous Love by Maura Smiley. Well, it's wombat time, and as I said at the beginning of the show, this is probably the most wombatty thing I've done. Years ago, my son Matthew sent me a humorous story about a man and his dog, and I enjoyed it, and recently I thought about putting it on the show and ended up collaborating with my other son, Paul, who's working on a voiceover career, and he did the voice of the dog in the story, and I did the voice of the man. So the story is called Starving, and we recorded it, and I'm going to put it on now for you. So this is the Wombat of the Night. It's a story of a man and his dog. That's all I'll tell you about it, and it's called Starving. You know, a lot of times I write up random posts and then don't post them. But Best Beloved just called me, and I could not really explain why I was inarticulate about sweet potatoes, so I said I'd go ahead and post this. That way she can read it at work and know just what kind of a day it's been. The short version, for those who do not feel like listening to the whole thing, is, arg, frigging sweet potatoes. The longer version, summarized in conversation form, follows.
I'm starving.
Actually, no, you aren't starving. You get two very good meals a day and treats, and Best Beloved fed you extra food while I was gone.
Starving.
I saw you get fed not 4 hours ago. You are not starving.
Pity me, a sad and tragic creature, for I can barely walk. I'm so starving. Whoa.
I am now ignoring you.
Starving. Did you hear me? I'm starving. Are you seriously ignoring me? Fine.
There is a pause during which the dog exits the room in a pointed manner. And then from the kitchen there comes a noise like someone is eating a baseball bat. Hey, what the hell are you doing? I make haste for the kitchen, and I find the dog there. The dog picks up an entire raw sweet potato, which is what was causing the baseball bat noise, and flees for the bedroom. I chase the dog, retrieve most of the sweet potato, less the portion which has disappeared into the dog's gullet.
See? Starving.
That can't be good for you. It's raw sweet potato.
I had to do it. I haven't been fed. Ever.
You realize you aren't normal. Normal dogs don't steal raw sweet potatoes.
Sadly, I was badly brought up.
Yes. Yes, you were.
By people who starved me.
Oh, no. I'm not doing this again. I leave the room, bearing the sweet potato. There's a pause, and then, once again, there is a noise like someone is trying to eat a baseball bat, very, very quietly. Oh, for the love of God! I head off to the kitchen.
I am not eating a raw sweet potato.
You have sweet potato parts all over your snout.
But you don't actually see a raw sweet potato, do you? So maybe that's just a birthmark.
Did you seriously eat a whole sweet potato?
You don't listen. I told you. I wasn't eating a sweet potato.
Did you seriously eat a whole sweet potato? I search around fruitlessly. Look. No more sweet potatoes. Oh, what am I saying? This is you we're talking about here. I'm going to hide all the sweet potatoes that are left, which isn't many, in the fridge, because some people can't be trusted. The dog attempts to look thwarted, but does not succeed because her tail is wagging so hard, small cyclones are forming in the kitchen. I have a very bad feeling about this. After a while, during which I did not even bother trying to return to what I was doing, I just stand in the computer room waiting. There is, as I wholly expected, a baseball bat eating noise. I stomp back into the kitchen. Okay, give me that damn sweet potato. The dog, looking up guiltily, says,
"What sweet potato?"
"The one in your mouth."
"Oh, did you want this? I found it lying here."
I confiscate the sweet potato and deposit it in the locking trash can. "Let us say no more about this."
"No, they'll be stealing my sweet potato."
I attempt to remember what I was doing before the sweet potato episode. Some 10 minutes later, I succeed and return to it. Not 1 minute later, I hear a noise with which I have become all too familiar. I bonk my head on the desk. Arrgh! Arriving in the kitchen, I say, "How did you even get another sweet potato?"
"I have my ways."
"Are you punishing me for being away for several days? I was at a funeral, you know. It wasn't fun."
"How would I know? You didn't take me. You left me here with only one human to look after my needs. One human is not enough."
I shut the dog in the bedroom, conduct a sweep of the kitchen to track down all remaining sweet potatoes. I wipe up the random sweet potato particles from the floor and try to eradicate all traces of sweet potato from the house. I let the dog out. The dog looks at me and says sulkily,
"Well, so you think you've won."
I watch her go about her business with that same sense of overwhelming doom that heroines of Victorian novels get when they meet Count Sinistrus Grimblack for the first time. Half an hour later, there is a wetter, juicier eating noise, as though someone was eating a very moist baseball bat. Oh, what now? The dog is hunched over the remains of a butternut squash. Okay, fine. I stomp over and empty out the entire vegetable bowl into the trash. We just won't have any root vegetables anymore. There. Are you happy?
I'm not even remotely sorry. I told you I was hungry, and you went to a funeral without me.
Arrgh! A half hour later, there is another baseball bat eating noise from the kitchen. The dog, who apparently does not know how to win gracefully, has found another sweet potato, or possibly caused one to materialize from the rift. I haul the chewed sweet potato parts from the mouth of a dog who is very reluctant to part with them. Oh my God, how is this my life?
Don't you think it would be just easier to feed me?
Everyone go to the bedroom and stay there. Eat nothing.
Actually, I feel not so good.
The dog throws up and the vomit is very bright orange. Unfortunate details ensue. Sometime later, attempting to rescue something from the wreckage. So what have we learned from this?
Sweet potatoes are yummy.
Our other dog, who I haven't mentioned before, is looking thoughtful. And I can sense him thinking,
I should pay more attention to crunching noises. Sweet potatoes are probably yummy.
I need a lobotomy. And that, best beloved, and everyone else who made it through that, is what kind of a day it has been. Frigging sweet potatoes, arrgh! That was Starving, performed by Harry and Paul Baia. The next song is 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover, performed by Paul Simon. I love Paul Simon's rhythm. He writes some great stories. This one in particular, I feel there's just so much in this. Trying to determine the relationship between the person singing the song and the person he's singing it to, and also try and figure out what's going on in his life that he's trying to get out of. So here is 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover by Paul Simon.
Thank you. problem is all inside your head, she said to me. The answer is easy if you take it logically. I'd like to help you in your struggle to be free. There must be 50 ways to leave your lover. She said it's really not my habit to intrude. Furthermore, I hope my meaning won't be lost or misconstrued. But I'll repeat myself at the risk of being crude. There must be 50 ways to leave your lover. 50 ways to leave your lover. You just slip out the back, Jack. Make a new plan, Stan. You don't need to be coy, Roy. Just get yourself free. Or hop on the bus, Gus. You don't need to discuss much. Just drop off the key, Lee, and get yourself free. Ooh, slip out the back, Jack. Make a new plan, Stan. You don't need to be coy, Roy. You just listen to me. Hop on the bus, Gus. You don't need to discuss much. Just drop off the key, Lee, and get yourself free. She said, it grieves me so to see you in such pain. I wish there was something I could do to make you smile again. I said, I appreciate that. And would you please explain about the 50 ways? She said, why don't we both just sleep on it tonight? And I believe in the morning you begin to see the light. And then she kissed me. And I realized she probably was right. There must be 50 ways to leave your lover. 50 ways to leave your lover. You just slip out the back, Jack. Make a new plan, Stan. You don't need to be coy, Roy. Just get yourself free. Or you hop on the bus, Gus. You don't need to discuss much. Just drop off the key, Lee. Slip out the back, Jack. Make a new plan, Stan. You don't need to be coy, Roy. You just listen to me. Hop on the bus, Gus. You don't need to discuss much. Just drop off the key, Lee, and get yourself free.
You just heard 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover by Paul Simon. You're listening to Wombats and Music, and I'm your host, Harry Baya. I bring you Wombats and Music Monday night at 7 from WEHC. WEHC is the radio station of Emory and Henry College, and Wombats and Music is my chance to play for you songs I love and put in an occasional wombat. That's what I call strange things. And we've already had the wombat of the night, and probably the strangest wombat I've ever put into the show. And we're going to be moving on to Joan Baez. Joan Baez began her recording career when she was 19 years old. And I, at the time, was also just about 19. And I remember it very clearly. Suddenly, this new voice appeared, and it was just captivating. I saw her perform live several times at that point in her career, and it was just the most beautiful voice and the cleanest, simplest thing. It was part of the folk music revolution, the resurgence of folk music, and Joan Baez was one of the leaders around 1960. So this is Joan Baez singing The Gospel Ship, one of the songs that caught my attention early on.
I'm going far beyond the sky. leave this world of sin and go sailing through the air. I'm gonna take a trip in that old gospel ship. I'm going far beyond the sky. I'm gonna shout and sing till the bell done ring when I bid this world goodbye. If you are ashamed of me, you ought not to be, and you'd better have a care. If too much fault you find, you will sure be left behind when I'm sailing through the air. I'm gonna take a trip in that old gospel ship. I'm going far beyond the sky. I'm gonna shout and sing till the bell done ring when I bid this world goodbye.
The Gospel Ship by Joan Baez. The next song is The Blue Train, sung by three of the best-known female voices in country music, Linda Ronstadt, Dolly Parton, and Emmylou Harris. And this particular song, even though it's about being blue, it's not about deep depression. One of the phrases that I like to try and live by is that when you lose something you value, that you learn to appreciate what you've had rather than be bitter about what you've lost. And I think this song kind of catches that. Something's been lost, it's the blue train they're on, but it's a gentle train and they're moving on with life. They're sad, but they're not horribly depressed. Here is The Blue Train by Dolly Parton, Emmylou Harris, and Linda Ronstadt.
Riding this run-down track and the lost places from a dream that never brings them back. And the sad truth is nothing but a cold hard fact. I'm riding the blue. Oh,
You just heard The Blue Train by Linda Ronstadt, Dolly Parton, and Emmylou Harris. Next up is The Rose by Bette Midler. Probably her signature song. The Rose is beautiful poetry and just a wonderful song. I've run into it a few times in my life. I've sung it in a chorus. I've sung it in a little duo. It's just an absolutely enchanting message and a lovely tune. So this version of it by Bette Midler is the, I guess, the most popular one ever made. But many people have sung this song. So here is The Rose by Bette Midler.
Some say love, it is a river that drowns the tender reed. Some say love, it is a razor that leaves your soul to bleed. Some say love, it is a hunger, an endless aching need. I say love, it is a flower, and you, it's only seed. It's the heart afraid of breaking that never learns to dance. It's the dream afraid of waking that never takes the chance. It's the
Bette Midler singing The Rose. Next is a powerful female voice, Sinead O'Connor, which has some sort of emotion in it that it's hard to even describe. I'll let you listen and see what you would call it. This is Sinead O'Connor singing The Rebel Song.
Forgive what you think I've done.
Sinead O'Connor singing the Rebel Song. So what do you say when you've taken a wrong turn in life, when you've made a mistake? Do you take full responsibility for it? What if it's not all your fault? How do you word that? In this case, Charlie Rich says, I washed my hands in muddy waters. Washed My Hands in Muddy Waters by Charlie Rich. The next song is I Still Miss Someone by Johnny Cash. Why do some voices reach further into our psyches than others? Why can some voices pluck our heartstrings with almost no effort? Here's a simple song. I Still Miss Someone, and yet it reaches me. Johnny Cash's voice goes deep, and this is a good example. I Still Miss Someone by Johnny Cash.
I still miss someone.
At my door the leaves are falling, the cold wild wind will come, sweethearts walk by together, and I still miss someone. I go out on a party and look for a little fun, but I find a darkened corner, 'cause I still miss someone. Though I never got over those blue eyes, I see them everywhere. I miss those arms that held me when all the love was there. I wonder if she's sorry for leaving what we'd begun. There's someone for me somewhere, and I still miss someone. I see them everywhere. I miss those arms that held me when all the love was there. I wonder if she's sorry for leaving what we had begun. There's someone for me somewhere, and I still miss someone.
I still miss someone.
Johnny Cash, I still miss someone. Well, you've been listening to Wombats and Music with your host, Harry Baya. I bring you Wombats and Music Monday nights at 7 from WEHC, the radio station at Emory and Henry College. If you'd like to write me suggestions or comments, you can send email to harry@baya.net. That's my last name, baya.net. So harry@baya.net, and I'd love to hear from you. Any comments on the show? Occasionally someone will write in and give me a correction and saying, a statement you made was incorrect, and I find that useful. But also they send in and say, how about playing this song? And so if you want to write me, please do. harry@baya.net. Even in these strange times, the COVID virus lockdown, a president who won't leave office even though he lost the election, and the economy in kind of free fall, life is still a wonderful experience, and I ask you to join me in celebrating that. So here's your chance to celebrate with me. Please join me in celebrating most joyously our being here at all. Goodbye.